All right, this is my interview that I did on the December last of the month ICE demonstration outside the federal building with Dalio of Lane County Immigrant Defense Network, music by Steve Gibson, and then the protest from January 8th after the Renee Nicole Good assassination by ICE from January 8th. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, support independent media. All right, so I'm out here on 7th and Pearl, and there's people standing here with a sign that say, "Hey, ICE, we're watching you," and ICE is the American Gestapo. This is the pro-refugee ICE demonstration that happens every Tuesday after last Tuesday of the month, right? You want to explain why you're out here?
Yeah, so we're out here out the last Tuesday of every month. There are usually people here every Tuesday. But yeah, there's a variety of groups and coalitional spaces in our city that are devoted to defending our immigrant and undocumented friends and neighbors who are being targeted right now.
All right, and so this, in the United States, we're the example of the world here, aren't we? That we have due process when someone does something illegal, even if they're not a citizen. So is this the American way of treating people, or is this, I thought we didn't do this in the United States. I thought we didn't just deport people without trial.
Yeah, these programs of deportation are actually like a thing that the United States has done and continues to do. It's done it in the past, targeting both Asian Americans and Latin Americans and people of different groups and cultural identities or religious backgrounds. And the reason that the United States is so interested in divvying up people by protected characteristics in this way, whether it's, you know, undocumented workers or it's the Trump like Muslim ban from the last administration. I mean, the real idea is to divide the working class and to reduce our mutual solidarity and our it is a violation, of course, of due process and basic laws in this country, but it's nothing new. Also, I mean, this is as American as apple pie, as far as I'm concerned.
But you're talking about the slippery slope that first they start with immigrants and then they come for you.
Well, certainly, and we've definitely seen repression of like labor movement and of queer activism and really any people who are marginalized or oppressed in this country are regularly attacked. I mean, we've seen it with like the mass surveillance systems and things of that nature, like Flock here in Eugene, which was recently shut down. But I mean, it is all deeply connected. One oppressed group is not an isolated incident. Like, we can see how their policies and programs are going to be implemented against any marginalized person and indeed against any political dissent.
And then the reason we put people on trial is just there's usually a reason people are doing things like, you know, Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. The reason they were in power and did the bad things that they did was because of a lot of it dealt with American foreign economic policy. So the reason we put people on trial is to find out what else is going on.
Yeah, I think those are interesting examples of comprador American foreign policy, which was implemented against countries where we have no really jurisdiction or legal right. But when we're talking about criminals and things of that nature in this country, yeah, that's usually the case, where there's usually some crime or alleged crime that has been committed that's being investigated and processed through legal means. But we're seeing regularly our undocumented neighbors having their rights completely ignored, having their right to like habeas corpus and some of their just basic civil dignities being completely violated. And these aren't things that are require a citizenship. These are things that are guaranteed to all people under our legal structure.
Right, even if you're a citizen, even if you're a criminal.
Of course, yeah. I mean, and obviously without due process. No one, you can't say someone's a criminal unless you've proven that, right? Like, innocent until proven guilty is the root of American criminal law.
And then they were just reporting that they rushed through the trial where the public defender wasn't able to get to the trial.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they,
things like that.
They use every dirty trick in the book to try and suppress and terrify our communities, of working class communities, whether you're a marginalized person, a documented or undocumented person, civilian or excuse me, citizen or non-citizen, it doesn't matter. They're going to try and do all these dirty tricks to assert their authority everywhere they can. I mean, it's part of the incredibly racist and incredibly troubling developments in our immigration policy, which, I mean, you know, we're under the previous Trump and Biden administrations, and these kind of programs with ICE have only been expanded in the last year.
And then the U.S. has a history of destabilizing governments in Central and South America.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean,
Venezuela right now.
Yeah, we see right now how they've sent a massive naval buildup around Venezuela. The ongoing illegal blockade and embargo of Cuba. I mean, we see like the American dream is to suppress and divide and rule the country and undermines the self-determination of every nation around the globe for, you know, a U.S. hegemony, which I think is, you know, it's insane in a world with so many different people and ideas. It really makes no sense to have one country govern the entire world. And this is the way that the American empire has been presenting itself, even though it you know, has a great PR team that says it's a bastion of freedom and democracy. I mean, anybody who's got eyes that can see will know that the United States is, in fact, one of the greatest threats to human peace and personal human dignity.
And we're not ruling the world by creating democracies that are self-sufficient and work with themselves. It's for corporate resource extraction. Is that?
Yeah, I would argue the United States has never installed what I would consider a true democracy. They've certainly installed people who are deeply loyal to American business interests. I think Machado of Venezuela, who was just recently given the Nobel Peace Prize for actively calling for a U.S. invasion of her home country, Venezuela, I think that's an excellent example of the bastions of American democracy and people who represent those interests.
And now we're seeing a rise of authoritarian governments in Central and South America. Lula da Silva was deposed,
yeah.
and then with overwhelming people wanted him back,
yeah.
Because he was deposed because he was giving money to the people, that he was taking money from the industrialists and giving it to the people, in just like Venezuela.
Yeah, the United States is terrified of the Bolivarian Revolution because it means that a group of people have decided that they want to use their resources that they've toiled to earn and worked. You know, the people who actually do the work are actually benefiting from the work that they're doing. And that's just something that's completely outside of the American agenda.
Right, and what else in Venezuela? Well, so I used to buy Citgo gas,
sure.
Because it was Venezuelan. I didn't want to support the Middle East. And so then in the first Trump administration, he made that illegal. He made oil imports illegal.
Yeah.
So this is all...
Which makes no sense. I mean, Trump himself said it would make so much more sense to... I mean, he was implying to steal it, but he said it would make a lot more sense to get our fuel from Venezuela. The same is true of sugar. It would make so much more sense to get our sugar from Cuba. We choose not to because we want to punish people for choosing self-determination over American occupation.
All right, and then I was just researching about the oil industry in the 50s in Venezuela. They were exporting $2 billion worth of oil, and then they were buying $1 billion worth of goods from the United States.
Yeah.
So that's literally 100% profit And so Betancourt, I believe it is, and there's been several dictators down there that they keep switching.
Several U.S. installed dictators before the Bolivarian Revolution.
Is that true? After you mean after the Bolivarian
before
Revolution?
Before the Bolivarian Revolution, yeah.
Or, oh, before the Bolivarian Revolution was in the 60s.
That was in the 90s.
In the 90s,
yeah.
Okay. So that's
that was Hugo Chavez.
Right, but they wanted to tax the oil industry instead of nationalizing the oil industry under Betancourt, and still they're still dependent on exports, but at least the oil industry didn't even want to spend 50% of their tax dollars of their profits to give to Venezuela. So that, you know what I'm saying, they don't even want to, they just want to take money out of the country and not give anything to the country.
Could you clarify the question?
Well, there's two things I'm saying is, first of all, there's a way of doing it without nationalizing the oil industry. When they nationalize the oil industry, then the oil industry leaves the country.
Not if that's where your oil well is.
But I mean, in the Chavez, what Chavez's complaint was is that the oil industry left. And so there was no one to run the oil industry, and that's partly why it collapsed.
Well, the oil industry was actually nationalized before Chavez, but it wasn't truly public in the way that it was after the Bolivarian Revolution. But Venezuela sits on one of the largest oil wealths in the world, right? That's their oil. That is a natural resource. It belongs to the people who live there and the people who work there. Should reap the benefits of the resources which they've like toiled to earn.
Right, and I'm seeing that there's a way to do a rainy day fund. Even if you're dependent on oil exports, you can take part of those dollars that come there and make a rainy day fund for when the oil price goes down. So there's a way to do it. You understand Dutch diseases when they put only all their resources into one. Their economy onto one resource is dangerous because when the price of that resource goes down,
and
they have problems.
And Venezuela has a wide variety of incredibly rich natural resources. I mean, it's an incredibly wealthy country when you're looking at the actual resources there. The only reason that it's quote-unquote a poor country is because they're being stratified by economic sanctions by the United States, which is using its outsized influence as a global hegemon economically and now militarily under the new Trump corollary to the Monroe Doctrine.
All right, and so most of these people are refugees, but then there's also really upstanding citizens here in the United States that are being deported, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's important to highlight that, like, ICE is not really known for, like, making those kinds of discernments in real time. I mean, they're making incredibly racist, wide dragnet attempts to attack immigrant communities. I mean, but it's really just attacking communities of color, particularly Latinx communities.
All right, and so who is checking on ICE, and what can you tell me about ICE, the way it's run?
In terms of like the oversight internally, that is not a question that I'd really be suitable to answer. I mean, it's a federal program. It's federally regulated through the executive branch of the U.S. government. I mean, it was opened under Bush in 2004 during the war on terror to punish and terrify Arab Americans and Muslims in the United States, and now it's being used again to be weaponized against Hispanic and Latinx people now and under Obama and Biden as well. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, we as a community are responsible for what goes on here, and if we let ICE do this, then we are not. We're not only complicit in a true tragedy of our generation, but we're also responsible to our community members and neighbors, just as good citizens and as members of these communities. The problem, I would say, is that a lot of people consider this a national issue rather than a local one. This is something that's happening right here in Eugene, right here in this building, and we need to be out here and make it known that this is not a popular policy. This is not something Eugenians and Oregonians or U.S. people, people who live in the United States, like, this is not something that we want. And this is a wildly unpopular and racist policy. And it's completely unacceptable in 2026.
It's an imposition by the central federal government on the states, basically.
It is. Yeah. It is. And it's interesting that the party of Lincoln is so interested in overstepping states' rights that that they have made these federal oversteps so commonly. I guess maybe they weren't all that interested in protecting states' rights after all.
All right, one more question is the... So the MAGA movement is blaming immigrants and liberals and this small group of people instead of the elite for the world's problems. What is causing the world's problems? Is it corporate?
It's billionaire. It's the billionaire class. It really is. I mean, you look at Trump and all of his wealthy friends. You look at the political duopoly in our country. You look at the hegemonic power of the Republicans and the Democrats, who ineffectually wield their power to essentially enrich a very small subset of people, and it makes absolutely no difference whether we're talking about Trump or Biden. I mean, the deportations are still happening. The policy remains the same. What we really and truly need is an independent movement for the working class to build political power.
And that includes MAGA. Eventually, it's going to get to the MAGA people. They're going to be victims of this thing as well.
Our
true enemy is the elite.
Our neighbors and our community members may have incorrect ideas, but they are still struggling under the burden and under the yoke of these policies. Things are bad. Things are worse now than they've been in a really long time, both economically and with a variety of the United States problems. But I mean, affordability is one of those things that has been a consistent problem and has only gotten worse with regards to income inequality and the incredible profits of the elite, not in any way reflecting the lived conditions of the people who actually work and live here. I mean, we can see how in countries like Cuba or Venezuela, how people who've taken control of their own resources and their own lives are a massive threat to the billionaire class, and that's why they're so commonly, you know, attacked and sanctioned ruthlessly. And it's because if we did that here, we would all benefit. Everyone. Whether you're a conservative or a liberal, or if you're progressive, I mean, everyone would benefit if we actually used the resources of the wealthiest country on earth for the people who live here. But instead, we have crumbling infrastructure, people going hungry, children's school programs being cut constantly. I mean, it's the list goes on. We don't have a crisis of lack of money in the wealthiest country in the world. We have a crisis of a billionaire class that does not prioritize the working people.
I have more in common. You and I have more in common with the MAGA person than I do with Elon Musk.
We have more in common with
Zuckerberg.
We have more in common with our MAGA auntie and uncle. We have more in common with our liberal brothers and sisters. We have more in common with our progressive nephews and nieces. We have more in common with any struggling unhoused person than we will ever have in common with the ruling class of this country. They are, without a doubt, the primary antagonist of honest and decent working class people in this country.
And none of them are going to become wealthy one day. How often does that happen? We don't change class in our society very often. We don't become multi-billionaires. That's a very rare...
Only through systems of incredible exploitation can a person become as wealthy as a person like Elon Musk.
Usually war is how you get...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the United States, the reason our priorities are so jumbled is primarily because the United States is a war profiteer that does government on the side. We are not a priority. The working class people are a necessary consequence of the system. They're not the beneficiary of it.
All right, anything else you want to say?
No. I do want to talk about our Day Without an Immigrant visibility actions. The next one's going to be January 19th, MLK Day. please go online and sign the pledge at bit.ly/DWOI pledge. But please sign the petition. We're primarily out here the last Tuesday of the month.
I just wanted to add on, there are groups out here every day of the week. Veterans for Peace is here Mondays 1 to 2, but every day of the week, usually starting either late morning or right at the noon hour into the afternoon, there are people out here.
I tell people, if you want to get involved with something, go down to the federal building.
And that's where to come.
Almost every city,
that's
there is something going on at the federal building.
Don't get sad, don't get mad, get organized.
Get organized, yep. Yeah, all right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short-haired, yellow-bellied son of Cheeto Donnie's gonna Mother Hubbard soft soap me with just a pocket full of hope. Money for dope, money for rope. I'm sick to death of seeing things by short, tight lips, short, condescending mama's little chauvinist. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of watching scenes of schizophrenic, egocentric, paranoid prima donnas. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short-haired, yellow-bellied son of Cheeto Donnie's gonna Mother Hubbard soft soap me with just a pocket full of hope. Money for rope, or money for dope. No short-haired, yellow-bellied son of Cheeto Donnie's gonna Mother Hubbard soft soap me with just a pocket full of hope. Money for rope, money for dope. I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of things by neurotic, psychotic, big-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. All we need is the truth. Just give us some truth.
All right, we're gathered here today because yesterday, almost exactly 24 hours ago, an ICE agent in Minneapolis murdered in cold blood 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good. Say her name. Renee Nicole Good. Cole Good. Last night, several community members held a vigil over at the federal building in her honor. And thousands of people took the street in Minneapolis, New York, LA, Chicago, Tucson, Anchorage, Evansville, Illinois. All over the country, people are no longer willing to take this brutal terroristic force on the streets of our cities. Renee Nicole Good.
Renee Nicole Good.
She was a mother, a daughter, a partner, an entire universe, a worker. She was what we at the Lane County Immigrant Defense Network and others here who work in rapid response and demonstrate at the federal building every week, we train and encourage people to do that every day, what she was doing. Watching, monitoring, using her First Amendment rights to speak, to assemble, and to record ICE as they terrorize our community. That's all. We have people here in Eugene, in Lane County, who do that every day, who did that yesterday, who are doing it today, who will do it tomorrow, and until we win. So we will not be intimidated by their violence. They claim that this killing was in self-defense. It's an outrageous lie meant to sow confusion among our people. That's all it is. But we're not confused. Of course, the administration is going to double down that this murder is good, that it was justified. It is so bad and so clear-cut that ordinary Democratic politicians like Tim Walz and Jacob Frey, who already betrayed the movement in 2020, were forced to call people into the streets, to say people should be in the streets. This is correct. It's correct that people should be in the streets. In the next breath, calling in the National Guard to protect protests, right? Shame. This is not correct. Concurrently, they will try to weave a bad apple narrative about the person who killed Renee Nicole Good. And of course, this is just to confuse people and get them back into their normal working stream of life. But we cannot be confused. We have to be prepared to fight this. Of course, this individual is a horrendous, terrible apple. Let's be clear. Should be prosecuted. Let's be clear. For murder. Okay? But day after day, they come with these narratives. And how they did it in George Floyd, one of the ways they do it, one of the ways they're doing it now, is they talk to other police officers, former police officers, and they'll get them on record saying, well, you know, I've seen a lot of things, but this in particular is really, really bad. They'll put out that story. They talk to defense attorneys who defend police officers who kill people. And they say, you know, I've defended a lot of people, but I would never defend this. And they put that out there to highlight that this person is particularly bad in the thing that they did. It's a system. We have to call a thing what it is. ICE is a death squad. Murders like these are inevitable. They're an inevitable part of the waves of violence that the Trump administration has unleashed across the country. So while we fight today for justice for Renee Nicole Good, we're building alongside Pecun's Day Without an Immigrant campaign toward the capacity for the general strike that we need to shut it down, to defeat this administration and the entire billionaire agenda in its totality, to build toward the end of this entire racist system. And so you should all sign the strike pledge if you haven't. Quarter sheets are going around. Join the MLK Day, Day Without an Immigrant March. That's the next Day Without an Immigrant celebration as we're building toward the May 1st Day of General Strike. That's on Monday, January 19th. That's also on the sheet. So quickly, here's the plan for today. We have a few speakers, organizers, rapid responders, fighters who will speak about what this murder means for local protesters and rapid responders, what it means for them, how other ways to get plugged in actively to the work from here. And then we're going to head over to the federal building. And it's only over there on 7th and Pearl. Have people been there? People know where it is? The ICE field office is housed in that building. And people are out there regularly most days of the week. There are other people with quarter sheets with the schedule. Of times, people are regularly out there. But we're going to go out there, and we'll be out there till at least 1 o'clock, making sure that they know that we're not intimidated by their actions. And that we're here to fight for justice for Renee Nicole Good. So first, I'd like to introduce Patty Hine, Navy veteran and a member of 350 Eugene.
How many of you have been here before? I get tired of not being able to see the speaker, so I'm standing up here. I hope this is good. Can you hear me? Great. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. You look so beautiful out there, and you sound so beautiful, and you're so badass. My name is Patty Hine. I'm co-president of 350 Eugene, a climate justice organization, and a proud member of the new activist coalition, Eugene Springfield. I'm a gender nonconforming lesbian and a career, thank you, and a career Navy officer. I took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That is why I'm here today. Trump is domestic enemy number one. We're all here because we see our country being taken over by a fascist dictator. That lawless act that his regime did yesterday with the cold-blooded killing of Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis by an ICE agent is abhorrent, and we're not going to take it. We're outraged, we're angry, but it's time to turn this anger into action. Civil resistance is the answer. Civil resistance is both personal and collective. It is nonviolent and the root of our power. It is active, not passive, and it means removing our support for the pillars of the fascist regime right here, right now, in our city and in our own lives. The pillars include, for example, cowardly, complicit media outlets and listening to their bullshit, buying at big corporations that are owned by elite billionaires, and the military state that does his bidding. You might think that what you do is insignificant. It is not. Everything we do, everything you personally do, matters. Indeed, it's vital that we do it. So what does it look like? Like Rob said, it strikes. There's one coming up May 1st, lay for it. There's an event every month that builds up to it. It's boycotts. It looks like taking your money out of the corporate banks. It looks like buying locally from people who you know and trust. It might even look like being a war tax resistor. I know you're out there. What doesn't it look like? Using the money that you earn to buy goods and services from the likes of the global profiteers and wage thieves, including Amazon, Walmart, Chase Bank, ExxonMobil, BlackRock, and many of the other corporate oligarchs. Yes, thank you. We have an opportunity here in Eugene. One of the pillars of Trump's regime is ICE. And they're right there. ICE is Trump's personal enforcer. They're his Gestapo. Their budget is bigger than the Army's. And they're rapidly and recklessly hiring the most violent, cruel, and vindictive humans, and their numbers have grown from 10,000 to 22,000. They are invading our cities and terrorizing our communities, and they're murdering innocent people, people who are exercising their constitutionally protected rights to assemble and to free speech, just like you today. It may seem theoretical to remove support for pillars of the regime, but please consider, ICE is the one truly visible and accessible pillar of the regime that we could and should fight right here in Eugene. So, you know, there are pro-democracy organizations that show up there every single day, especially over the lunchtime. They are supporting immigrant communities who are afraid to come out and work. They're losing their homes. They're saying no to ICE, and we have to join them in numbers too large to ignore. We have the ICE office on the run. Here in Eugene, deportations are dramatically down because protesters like us are showing up every day in their faces saying no to lawlessness, no to them frightening and destabilizing our neighbors with vicious attacks, no to this unaccountable cruelty. The tide is turning. Cold-blooded murders do wake Americans up. We've been distracted and complacent too long, but there's still time to act if we act now. ICE is our target for civil resistance. Communities across our country can and are resisting, and we can win, but we must show up in huge numbers. We must join the growing movement, grab a flyer, grab a whistle kit, Find out what you can do and do it. It has always been so. People power is more powerful than the people in power. Let's be fierce. Thank you.
For our next speaker, I want to introduce Latife from Rapid Response Lane County. Thank you.
We stand here today because people are dying at the hands of ICE, in cages, in transit, and in the streets. And we refuse to let their deaths be renamed, minimized, or explained any other way. Because that's always the first move. Rename the violence so the public can swallow it. Call raids operations. Call cages facilities. Call deportation removal. Call death an incident. And it only works if we're trained to doubt or ignore what we can plainly see and what our bodies already know and feel. I know you all feel it. You're here. Reject the evidence of your own eyes and ears. We won't. We will not look away, and we will not be trained into silence. ICE is not just immigration enforcement. It is a growing armed force built on the backs of immigrants. And immigrants are the test case. Our rights are the first denied. The government learns what it can get away with. And once the system learns it can disappear people without consequence, it doesn't stop. It expands. That's why they've also been trying to do something else, which is to desensitize us. From Sandy Hook to Gaza, to ICE kidnapping neighbors at dawn. They keep flooding us with violence until we go numb, until we scroll past it, until our hearts learn to shut down as a survival skill. Don't let them. Feel it. Feel it in your chest. Because something is profoundly wrong. These have been the testing grounds for how much we will tolerate. And now it is clear the system doesn't stay contained and no one is exempt. So how do we meet this moment? We have to meet it with courage. I am a legal observer too, like Renee. On November 5th at 6:33 in the morning, I was the first legal observer after ICE kidnapped 9 neighbors in Cottage Grove. It was early, it was cold, and I was alone. And I was scared. I was shaking both from fear and from anger, really rage. And I was afraid, but I stayed anyway, because somebody had to witness, somebody had to document, somebody had to make it harder for lies to become the official story. On that day, their attorney arrived well before transport to Tacoma. Even elected officials stepped in. Senator Merkley and Congresswoman Hoyle wrote to ICE demanding due process and translation services. And ICE still denied access. They still denied rights. Then, when more legal observers and protesters arrived and the attention grew, ICE tried to sneak out all of these community members, our neighbors, to later claim that it was too late. Too late for their attorney to see them, too late for due process. It was a lie, and I said so loudly that day to DHS and ICE. And in that moment, they treated me like I was the threat. They racially profiled me. They followed me around with a camera and photographed me. And I carried that fear for days afterwards. But you know what? I still show up. And it's not because I'm fearless, but because fear doesn't get to decide what's right. The truth still needs witnesses. And legal observers know that bearing witness matters. I also want to speak directly to the white folks who are here right now. Some of you, maybe for the first time in this way, because it's the first time you've watched someone you see as one of your own be killed in broad daylight and then heard it justified as public safety. I truly empathize in that grief. And I want to name something gently. Black and brown communities have carried this kind of grief for centuries. We have been told again and again and again that our losses are acceptable collateral in the name of public safety. So if you're feeling it now, don't shut it down. Don't turn away and use this grief as a portal. Let it open your heart and move your feet. Stand in solidarity and commit to not abandoning one another. Today we tell the truth out loud. Today we mourn real people. We mourn Renee Nicole Good, a 37-year-old mother killed in Minneapolis during an ICE attack. A human being is gone. A child lost a parent. A community lost someone they loved. And we also mourn the people that never made it out of ICE detention. The people who died behind locked doors. The people who died running for their lives. We say their names because we refuse to let the system erase them. Killed in detention in 2025, Ismael Uribe, Oscar Rascon, Lorenzo Vargas, Xiao Feng Ge, Tien Fan, Isidro Perez, Johnny Novielo, Jesus Vella, Abelardo de Galdo, Marie Blaise, Non Gwen, Brian Garzon, Maxime Cherniak, Sarawit Dejni, and Jenry Guyen. Killed, fleeing ICE in 2025, Josue Rivera, Silverio Gonzalez, Roberto Valdez, Jaime Garcia. In Latin America, we say presente when we name the name of the deceased in political violence. Presente.
Presente.
They are here with us today. But because we have courage, we will keep organizing until detentions end, until families are safe, until no one is hunted. If you're scared, that is real. But courage is what you do while the fear is still in your body. So today, let your heart stay open, let your eyes stay honest, and let your courage be contagious. We are here. We will continue to bear witness. We are grieving, we are organizing, and we are not going anywhere.
All right, I just want to introduce our last speaker, and then we'll get out of here. Faith from Trans Alliance for Lane County.
My name is Faith. My pronouns are she, her. I am a trans, queer woman who has been fighting this regime since its first day. Renee Nicole Good was a queer woman in my community. She had a wife who watched her die. A wife who was there in the car when the ICE death squad murdered her and casually walked away like he had taken out the garbage. Yeah. Renee Nicole Good had a 6-year-old son whose stuffed animals were in the glove compartment of that vehicle that we all saw with blood staining the airbag from where ICE shot her in the face 3 times when they were in no danger. Like Latife, I also go on rapid response calls. I have been face to face with ICE. I have had them point guns at me. I've had them point weapons at me. Every time I do that, I know that I could end up like Renee. So does Latife. We do it anyway. We do it not because we are not afraid. I am terrified. As a trans woman, I am terrified that I will be forcibly detransitioned and put into prison, where it is legal for me to be housed with men, because this administration has removed the guardrails that prevent that. And yet I am here and centering the immigrants and the brown folk because Renee Nicole Good, she died yesterday. ICE murdered her yesterday. But as Latife said, ICE murdered dozens of black and brown folk this year as part of their concentrated campaign of state-sponsored terrorism and violence. Many of you are here today, and I recognize you. I have seen you out there. I am at the federal building daily, protesting ICE, demonstrating, putting pressure on this administration. And I have seen so many faces here among the crowd. I am so happy and heartened to be in community with you. I also see new faces. I am so glad you are here today. I am so glad that you showed courage standing up for what you know is right in this time where so much is wrong. As this year continues, as 2026 continues, things will get harder, not easier. The state wants to normalize this violence. They want us desensitized to masked secret police wearing military tactical gear in our streets. They want that to become the norm. They want us to look away whenever they murder someone and debate whether it was meeting the case law standard of use of force. When we see the video with our own eyes, though, we know that doesn't matter. We know that that man murdered her. We know that ICE murders people every day. And we are not going to back down because the state and these goons in the Gestapo that is ICE continue to intimidate, bully, coerce, and threaten us. This is a call to courage. All of you are likely somewhat scared. It is scary to confront the federal government. Many of you probably protested during BLM or other times. Something about this moment is a little bit different because every mechanism of the federal government, all of the three-letter agencies, the most evil imperialist force in the country, in the global history, is now mobilizing against us, and that is terrifying. In these times, we have been conditioned to look towards institutional guardrails, the courts, ballot measures, county and city comment, our politicians writing letters. Institutional guardrails are important, but they are falling. Many of them have fallen. Many more will fall. The ones that are still there are brittle, rendered brittle by an administration that has repeatedly flaunted the law, and an administration that on January 6th, years ago, tried to topple the legitimate results through an insurrection that this administration sanctioned and sponsored. There are no guardrails except us. We are the guardrails. We are the guardrails, and we are not an institution. We are non-institutional. The people, we are where we find power. For those who know Erica Chenoweth's work, a non-binary scholar, they speak about civil resistance, which is direct, confrontational, non-institutional action. Institutional action is important. We need a little bit of that. But the vast majority of what we need now is non-institutional. And I am here to give you three ways that you can do non-institutional action on a day-to-day basis in Eugene to directly resist ICE's power and prevent these fascist death squad commandos from digging their claws into our community. The first thing you can do is show up at the federal building. Every day, there are people there for hours, and our presence has made an impact. In June, as Patty said earlier, there were 40 detentions at that building, 40 people that went in for routine check-ins that they had been going to for years and did not come out in free state. They came out in handcuffs. They were kidnapped to the Tacoma Northwest Detention Facility. They had no idea this was coming. Now, as of December, there were fewer than five at that building. Woo! 5 too many. We need 0. And if we keep showing up every day, we will show them that it is impossible for them to do these detentions without the community being there to hold it down, show up, bear witness, and make their job so miserable and difficult that they can't do that anymore. Please go to EugeneTogetherStrong.org and look at the ICE protest schedule. There are likely people in the crowd who can give you that URL. EugeneTogetherStrong.org. That lists all of the demonstration slots at the building. Pick one and show up to it all the time. Bring a buddy, bring your courage. The second thing you can do is canvas. You do not need permission to canvas. You do not need to be part of an organization. Grab your friend, your partner, your neighbor, your family. Get some whistle kits. Print out whistles. Ask people in the crowd to get them. You can buy them online. Hand those out to your neighbors. Let them know what ICE looks like, what they do. Let them know their rights. Every time you do this, you insulate a community against ICE, and you make it harder for them to carry out their evil, authoritarian, white supremacist regime. So demonstrating at the building is one, canvassing is two. The third, and this one is scary because it is what Renee did, is rapid response. Take a PERC Migra Watch training. PERC is the Portland Immigrants' Rights Coalition. They have been doing this for a very, very long time. While many of us have been wondering what to do, PERC and other BIPOC-led organizations have just done. They did not need to meet to discuss what to do. Their community was under attack, and they did. They showed up. They have mobilized. They have done rapid response. In mid-November at Marcola, ICE responded. Shouldn't say that. We responded. ICE ambushed 5 Guatemalan workers who went to the BLM building to get permits so they could forage mushrooms. This is disgusting because... This is so disgusting because foraging is such a traditional indigenous practice, and these people were trying to do it the quote-unquote right way. They went to the building to get the permits. They participated in our system. ICE had done surveillance and ambushed them at that appointment and took them into custody and then proceeded to hunt their family members and others in the community down. I was one of the first 3 people on scene to respond to that. Between when our people arrived and when 20 ICE cars and 30 agents left, 2 hours later, they managed to detain 0 other people. Rapid response works. They do not want to do what they do with eyes on them. We must be those eyes, and to do that, we need courage. So please take a PERC Migra Watch training. Get plugged in with local rapid response. Start with PERC, but then do the rest as well. Those are the 3 things. I want everyone today, when you leave this rally or the march to the federal building, because we're going to march over there soon, and we're going to tell them that we have courage and we're not going to stop. Pick one or more of those 3 things and do that thing. Yeah. Who protects us? We do. Who protects us?
We do.
Who protects us?
We do.
Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you on the streets.
All right. Thank you, Faith. Thank you, everybody. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go over to the federal building. We're going to picket. If you don't have a sign, there are extras lying around. We're going to picket the federal building and let them know that we're not backing down until we win. So just a few things I want to mention. At the federal building, community members still may have to come in for their regular check-in appointments. It's our responsibility to be conscious of that. They still need access to the building. So if we see civilians trying to gain access to the building, those are not ICE agents. We need to make sure that it's a welcoming space for them to go. They still need to attend those appointments, and we really need to be conscious of that. Does that make sense, everybody? All right. We're going to be picketing. We're going to be moving. We're going to be chanting. ICE and DHS, if they're there, they might be on high alert. They might be ready to be aggressive. So it's up to us to be aware of that and to not take risks that are not consistent with your risk profile, okay? But the main thing we're not going to do is we're not going to have conversations with them. We don't talk to them. There's nothing that they need to tell us. There's nothing that we need to take them. We're there with each other. we're giving the message that we're there to give. We don't need to be in conversations with them, having side chats. All right? So you're going to lead us over there. We're going to head out this way and around to the federal building. Let's go, everybody. Thank you.
Go, Cameron. Cameron's.
Where's the young woman who spoke? Is that her right there? Which Latino woman?
Latife? I don't see her anymore.
I think she should send that to the Eugene Lee.
Excuse me, I'm with KLCC Public Radio.
Oh, okay.
Hey, will you tell me your name?
Oh, it's